Hey, this is Stacey Gottsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Braves, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we are talking about your favorite teams every day. I'm your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. Check out my bio there to see where I am covering the game of baseball, including the Atlanta Braves, in written form over at tomahawktake.com. Also, make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at @lockedon_Braves. Submit your questions, comments, feedback on the show. Want to make this an interactive podcast with you, the listener, as well. Make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube as well. Doing very good over there, and appreciate the comments on each and every video. And thanks for making Locked On Braves your first listen each and every day. Do appreciate all the support. Today, we are going to be joined by Nick Green, who is an analyst for Bally Sports with the Braves and a former big leaguer who was drafted by Atlanta and debuted with the Braves in 2004 as part of an 8-year big league career. So very excited to have him on. Go ahead and bring him in. Hey, Nick, thanks so much for joining the show.
Hey, what's up, dude? How you doing?
Hey, doing great. So everybody that I've had on this offseason, I got to start it off with the 2021 season. I mean, how could you not? When you win a World Series, I would talk about it on the podcast every chance I get. So just take me through, you know, your ride, you know, obviously following the team very closely, that 2021 season and just how everything transpired, ending in a World Series champion.
You know, it was just a crazy season overall. And when you look at how the Braves started out, how Freddie Freeman started out, and you get to the All-Star break, Ronald Acuna gets hurt right before the break. And if you go into that clubhouse, people are going to tell you that they thought they could win, but I don't know if they really truly believed it. It just wasn't going their way. And was it a tough season up to that point? Yeah, it was. So to see what they were able to do at the trade deadline, what they were able to do after the trade deadline, and see them win the fourth consecutive NL East title, it was special. This year was one of those years where I really got into being a fan of the team. Not that I wasn't a fan before, but right. I really became a fan of the team because of what all they went through, all the different characters they had on the team, different guys that contributed. It was just fun to watch. And then, of course, I have a lot of loyalty to Brian Snicker, so to see him come up big and win a World Series, I thought that was enjoyable and satisfying and gratifying as well. So I just loved the whole season. It felt like a long season, but at the end, it was worth it.
Yeah, I'm glad you talked about the clubhouse atmosphere there. Obviously, you know, you're very close to the team and have a better feeling on that and understanding of that than I do. But, you know, that was just kind of the sense I even got as an outsider, as a fan, you know, with the Ozuna situation. Really, after that, it seemed like nothing was going the Braves' way for 4 months. I mean, I was one of those at the deadline, should they sell, you know? I mean, this team didn't seem like this was the year. And then you're right. I mean, the trade deadline, and I just said all along, you know, it seemed like they just needed some positivity back in that clubhouse with everything from happening to Ozuna and Acuna. You get a personality like Jock Peterson in there, you know, as the first wave of those moves. And then, you know, others, Soler, Rosario, you know, some big personalities as well. And to me, that just completely changed everything. Now, everybody talks about those trade deadline deals. Austin Riley was fantastic down the stretch. Freddie Freeman was fantastic. Ozzy Albies, I mean, the main core did it as well. But it just seemed like those moves really just re-energized a team that for 4 months, like you said, it was kind of tough to watch as a fan.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, when you think about a clubhouse atmosphere, a lot of times everybody says, okay, well, we need to blend personalities. They have to have the right chemistry to make things work. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you can buy it. But if you have a team like the Braves, I feel like you had so many guys that played important roles that weren't superstars. So how do you mesh all that together? How do you blend it all together? Well, it starts out with a great atmosphere as far as the coaches and the staff front office. Are they open to suggestions, talking to the players, being willing to discuss different topics that need to be discussed within the clubhouse? And from the top down, this organization is one of the best. Alex Anthopoulos, incredible. We'll talk to you all day long as an outsider, as a broadcaster, as a player. He communicates well with Brian Snicker and the coaching staff. And then those guys relay it back down to the players. Well, there's some point where you have to mix things up, right? So you look at this Braves team, and you're right. I'm not saying they didn't have the right chemistry, but things weren't going their way. So then you add a jolt to the team, Jock Peterson, which Alex Anthopoulos knew what he could bring to the table. He's a really good player, no doubt about it. Did he perform as well as we had hoped consistently? No, he didn't, but he came out with a bang. He came out and added personality to that clubhouse, got guys excited to play every day, brought a winning attitude to the team. He wasn't expecting anything other than winning. And I think that carried over to the team. Obviously, you add a couple of other guys, Soler, Eddie Rosario, that fit in really well, that had something to prove. Everybody mixed and matched really well within that clubhouse. And I can't say enough about it because I've been in clubhouses where we had the most talent in the world and we didn't have great chemistry. And it just didn't work out at the end. I've seen other clubhouses that don't have great chemistry that do win. Well, how are you going to win consistently? You've got to have a good clubhouse, got to have guys pulling for each other. And the Braves had that. And, you know, I think it's coming from Brian Snicker and being able to manage through the tough times. Would he want to quit at some point during the season? Absolutely. I mean, I can't imagine how many sleepless nights he had, right? So then he's has to come to the ballpark and put it on and say, hey, guys, I love you. I believe in you. We're going to get this thing turned around. But at some point, the players have to get it done, and they were able to. And a lot of credit goes to the guys that did come in that added a little bit of a different personality that that meshed really well, knew their roles, didn't play the ego game. And it all turned out for the best for the Braves. And, you know, one guy that we haven't mentioned yet that I think is really important in that is Freddie Freeman. Because, you know, the fact that he struggled so bad early, he's the leader of the team. He could have gone to the clubhouse every day with a bad attitude, not wanting to talk, not wanting to speak, frustrated about the contract and everything else going on. And he didn't do that. He still went there every day wanting to win. And again, that goes to clubhouse chemistry as far as bringing that winning attitude, that positivity every day, and seeing your leader struggle and still be okay and be happy every day.
Yeah. No, I'm geeking out here talking about clubhouse chemistry as somebody who's kind of an old school guy at heart. And I love all the analytics and they're great, but I love talking good team chemistry as well. I think it's very underappreciated in today's game. And if you weren't a believer in it, I think this 2021 Atlanta Braves team had to make you a believer in what good just clubhouse chemistry can do as far as affecting the results on the field. Like you said, players got to get it done on the field at some point, but having that good chemistry, you could definitely just feel the change in that clubhouse when those additions came over. Last thing to talk about 2021, obviously the postseason. I mean, I did a podcast giving my 10 biggest moments from the postseason. I probably could have done my top 30, but give me maybe a couple of your favorite moments from the postseason.
Well, I just went through it today because I had forgotten about it. It feels like it's been 2 years since they won the World Series, but you know, I was looking at my scorebook and things that I put in there. And Eddie Rosario, I felt like, you know, the two-out, it wasn't a pinch hit. We came in off the bench, two-out single in game four, I think, of the NLDS. That's when Freddie Freeman hit the home run off of Hader. But right. Earlier in that game, Rosario was a big part of getting them back in that game. And I thought that was a big moment. I thought that was it said a lot about him. Being able to come off the bench and accept that. Ian Anderson's performance in the World Series, I thought was really good, especially he has been up and down throughout the playoffs. I know the numbers are good, but he wasn't going deep in a ball game. So it was kind of a tough sledding for him. And I thought that was really good. The Riley walk-off, the Rosario walk-off, games one and two of the NLCS, those were awesome. Then you have Soler, who comes back from COVID. And his home run, his first at bat in the World Series, kind of set the tone of the World Series. And then also, I think probably my favorite moment was it was game four of the World Series because I had been watching from this. We had a conference room that we watched from, so we weren't ever in the stadium watching unless we wanted to walk around. And I didn't do that because I wanted to pay attention to the game and be able to analyze after. So game four, I said, you know what? I'm not getting a good feel for what it's like inside the stadium. I'm going to go out and watch from the Hank Aaron Terrace. I went out there with our producer, and we watched the entire game from left field. And that was when Dansby Swanson hit the game-tying home run. Soler pinch-hit home run right after that. And to me, I felt like that was the most special moment for me because I was actually able to witness it in person, see the crowd go crazy, and kind of get that feel of what was going on in the stadium.
Yeah, I've been saying it for a while now. The Game 4 in the World Series, to me, is the biggest game of the postseason. I mean, the Braves were down in that one early. You know, Kyle Wright comes in, gives just an amazing performance and, you know, settles everything down. And then you get the comeback late, you get the back-to-back homers. I mean, that to me changed everything in that World Series. You know, who knows how things would have played out differently. The Astros go on to win that. So Game 4, I'm always keen on that one as being the biggest game, you know, of the postseason. But so many moments in that postseason for the Braves, so many just big home runs. I mean, you could talk for days about the moments there. But yeah, that game,
oh,
game
four
for me.
You know, one other thing that it was a cool moment, it wasn't a big moment, was Dylan Lee in Game 4 coming out of the bullpen to start the game. I was so jacked up. I'm like, okay, I want this kid to give us three solid innings, because it was just such a cool moment to see him and what he's been through and then run out of the bullpen to start Game 4. I thought it was pretty cool, although it didn't necessarily work out for him. But like you said, Kyle Wright picked up the pieces and did a great job.
Yeah, for sure. All right, next I want to talk about Freddie Freeman and get into the lockout situation. Before we do that, let me tell you about Built Bar. It's the new year, so that means New Year's resolutions. If yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure you include a Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar makes it easier to stick to your resolution because it tastes so good you'll want to eat it. Unlike other protein bars, which can be chalky or waxy or taste like a chemical spill, you want to eat healthy, but it just gets so boring. But like week three of the new year, you're probably already like, where is the chocolate? Well, Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. Most of them only contain about 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which usually has around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. So, Nick, here's an idea for you. Go to all your secret treat snashes. Take out those bad-for-you candy bars. Replace them with a Built Bar, which are good for you and healthy and taste great as well, with plenty of flavors out there like cookies and cream, one of my favorites. So go to Built.com right now. Use our promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. That's LOCKED15 at Built.com for 15% off your order. All right, Nick. So I've buried the lead as long as I can here. Let's talk about Freddie Freeman. I mean, this storyline, it feels like it's been going on for years now. I can remember writing an article, you know, two off seasons ago, should the Braves extend Freddie Freeman? Then obviously all last year you talked about it. You know, I know he's never going to admit to it, but it had to be a distraction for him during the season, you know, and I know he's not going to use that as an excuse, but that's tough. I mean, as a fan, I get the sense this is where Freddie wants to be, where he wants to spend his career, but he's not getting the deal he feels like he should be getting from his team. It's a very tough spot to be in. You know, I know what's been reported out there that maybe the Braves are at 5 years, Freddie's at 6, all of that, but just as a fan's perspective, yeah, let's get it done. Give him what he needs. I understand the Braves are trying to run a business at the same time, but just give me, you know, your thoughts on the Freddie Freeman contract situation. Where do you kind of see it going? How do you see it playing out?
I mean, I can't see where he gets away. I feel like it's just so hard to replace him that you have to get it done. Obviously, there would be a lot of fans that were very upset if he were to go somewhere else, which I don't think is going to happen. I think the Braves are going to come up with the money. They're going to come up with the number of years that makes everybody happy. But, you know, how do you replace a guy that plays every single day? How do you replace a guy that's an all-star every single year? How do you replace a guy that hits 300 every year that plays gold glove caliber defense? I don't know where you can replace him. I was going through the list today to see who they could even get. And to me, there are no third basemen out there that you could put in at third and move Riley to first. Riley's done a great job at third, so why not leave him there and let him continue to progress? So I don't think that's the direction you go. Matt Olson is probably the best bet if something were to happen, but you'd have to give up a ton to get him too. He still have 2 years of control. He's a guy that can hit 40 home runs, 270-ish, give you 100 RBIs and you can throw in the three spot. But he's not the same type of leader yet that Freddie Freeman is. Everybody knows Freddie Freeman is the face of the Braves. And when you go into that clubhouse, and I read an article earlier in the season about this, which I was a little skeptical about guys playing every single day. And because Dansby Swanson was playing every day, Ozzie Albies was playing every day, Austin Riley, same thing. And Freddie Freeman brings the attitude of, we expect you to play every single day. If you're dinged up, you still play. You give us the best chance to win. So to me, that's the type of leader that you need, that you want for this team. Yeah, it's going to analytics as far as the game's concerned. The game's going younger, and that's fine. But you still have to have that veteran presence that really is capable from a performance standpoint, which Freddie Freeman is and will be. I look at his age. He's 32. 6 years he'll play until he's 38. Is that too much to ask of a guy? I don't think so, especially if the DH comes into play, which I think is going to. So just say maybe he slows down a little bit his last 2 years. Then you DH him, and you're still going to get a very good player offensively that can handle that role. Plus, you're going to have that leadership that the Braves need. I don't know what you do if you don't get him. So I'm coming up with money, whatever it is that he needs to make him happy, which I hear is at $30 million a year threshold. I come up with that money because, again, where are you going to replace him? I looked at another guy that I thought was interesting in Luke Voit with the Yankees, but he's got 3 years of control, but he's not Freddie Freeman. He provides power, but he doesn't provide the defense, right? So I just don't see anybody comparable to Freddie, not even close to making this thing work if he doesn't sign.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am as well. I mean, like you said, I think the only player out there that is potentially available and it would cost you a good bit is Matt Olson. I mean, I put it out there. I think you have to give up either Michael Harris or Shea Langeliers. I mean, if I'm the A's, I don't do any trade with the Braves unless I'm getting one of those two for Matt Olson. So, I mean, yeah, I hear fans saying out there, if you don't get Freddie, go get Matt Olson. It's not that easy. and still, Freddie Freeman is the face of your franchise. And I talked about this when I had John Magel on the podcast last week from Tomahawk Take, and he made a great point that Freddie is the face of the franchise. And when he is there, he allows Ronald to do what Ronald wants to do. He allows, you know, Dansby, Ozzie, others to just relax and be themselves because Freddie is the face of that franchise. And he just puts everybody else, you know, in their roles. And he takes on that leadership, like you said, which I think, you know, is a very big thing. If Freddie's gone, who is that guy? I mean, I know Ronald is the best player on the team, but can he be a face, you know, the face of the franchise player like that, you know, and take, cause you know, unfortunately there's a language barrier there. He's not able to take on, you know, some of those questions or things like Freddie can. So I don't know who leads this team that way if Freddie's not here.
That's what with Matt Olson. I mean, you can't ask Matt Olson to come in if you could even get him come in right. And be that guy. Freddie Freeman, if you go into that clubhouse, every single guy in there respects what he's done on the field and who he is as a person. If you go try to have somebody else lead like Freddie Freeman leads, I don't think you get the same results. Freddie Freeman can relate to everybody in the clubhouse. He's been there. He's done it. He understands the frustrations. He's been through it how many years with the Braves before they finally started winning. So he understands how that process works. He understands how to go out every single day, how to play with injuries, how to get out of slumps and how to manage your emotions through slumps. So everybody can come talk to him. Also, you're right. You made a great point about Freddie Freeman being the leader on the team and taking on that leadership role where other guys can kind of do what they do. So we've seen Dansby Swanson, right? Every time they move Dansby Swanson up in the order, he feels like he's got to be somebody else. We don't want somebody on this team to try to be somebody they're not. Well, when you have Freddie Freeman, he just allows everybody else to do that. Another point, too, with Freddie is he's not afraid to tell you what he thinks. Do we ever see it in the dugout? Probably not. Maybe once in a while you see him frustrated a little bit and tell somebody what they need to be told. But overall, he does that behind closed doors. I can't count how many times I've seen leadership-type players talk to guys behind closed doors in the clubhouse, and it never gets out. So Freddie Freeman is that kind of guy that's willing to do that for the betterment of the team as well.
Yeah, I think back to the Acuna, where he thought he had the home run in the St. Louis series, and Freddie commented after the game, and then everybody's like, "Whoa, Freddie said something
exactly,
you know, yep. about another player," because you just, like you said, you don't ever see that in public. That's always kept behind closed doors. So, yeah, great point there. Prediction time: is he an Atlanta Brave in 2022 and beyond?
Yes, okay. Yes.
I think so too. I just, like you said, I just, like you started off, I don't see how they let him get away. I can't see it happening. So, but this lockout, man, it is dragging and it is making me more nervous every single day, but I still think he will be an Atlanta Brave for 2022 and beyond. All right, take another break here, and then we'll come back, talk about that lockout as well as the 2022 season and what Nick Green is looking forward to the most. BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all this best sports wagering action for 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website. So sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2022 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Nick, so we touched on it for just a little bit, but this lockout that is going on, there's supposed to be a proposal today. We're recording this on Thursday. I haven't seen anything out of that yet, but when does this lockout get done? Are we going to be missing regular season games? What is your feel on this lockout and potentially a strike situation?
You know, it's tough to kind of gauge what's going on. I mean, there's so much tension, animosity on both sides that it's just frustrating as a fan of the game, because the game's been moving in such a great direction, especially after the pandemic. I thought last year was incredible all the way around. You can't stop the game and stop that momentum. So you've got to figure out a way to let the greed kind of be off to the side, figure out what's best for everybody, come to the middle. And make some sort of agreement. I think that you have to get something done before spring training. I think it just means too much for the game of baseball. Hopefully both sides are able to kind of put their egos aside, put their animosity aside, and come to some sort of agreement, because it just, let's be honest here, it's not going to be good for anybody, players, owners, fans, if something doesn't happen before spring training starts.
Yeah, exactly. And with what we've been through the last 2 years, from a, you know, pandemic shortened 2020 season, and then, you know, 2021 was somewhat normal, but you still didn't have fans, you know, full capacity at the beginning of the season, and you still had pitchers, you know, trying to get back from a shortened season, to delay that again and go through another odd season 3 years in a row, I just don't really want to see that on the players. You know, I know baseball players are routine oriented. You know, I want to see a regular spring training, especially for the pitchers. We saw so many big injuries last year that I think, you know, is directly related to that shortened 2020 season. I don't want to see that happen again. So want to see, like you said, I think spring training does get delayed a little bit, but hopefully they still get, you know, 4 weeks in there and regular season starts on time. But hopefully these negotiations pick up. But let's end here more on a happier note. What are you looking forward to for the 2022 season as far as the Braves, assuming we start on time and get a full season? And let's take Ronald Acuna Jr. off the table, because that's the obvious one. I'm sitting here watching him hit out of batting cages every day, and I will do it every day. Love those videos on Twitter. But what are you looking forward to the most for this Braves team in 2022?
I just am looking forward to seeing if they can repeat what they did last year. I mean, you're going to have different people as far as players are concerned, contributing that you didn't have last year. I want to see this team gel from the outset of the season. I don't want to have a first half where you have to rely on other teams to perform poorly to set yourself up to succeed at the end. And that's kind of what happened last year. I think it's going to be interesting with the Mets, all they've done. I think the Phillies are going to be good this year. So it's not going to be easy. But when I look at, you know, kind of each individual player and what I look forward to, can they all get better based off of last year? Can Austin Riley continue what he did last year and maintain that type of success consistently? Can Dansby Swanson improve just a little bit as far as his average is concerned? Can Ozzie Albies be a little bit more consistent from the left side of the plate? Those are the things that I really, really look forward to. The other thing too is, what's Alex Anthopoulos going to do? He always continues to amaze me with the moves that he makes and how he makes the team better. So I look forward to many different things, but you know, to see individual players continue to improve and get better every year is one of my favorite things. And then I really like Alex. So I really am curious to see who he's going to sign, who he's going to bring on, and what he's going to do to make this team better.
Yeah, he can frustrate the fans at times a little bit because you don't know what's going on and he keeps things so secretive. But yeah, I mean, his track record speaks for itself, especially after what he did last year. So, and Alex, we trust for sure. But is there another player in particular? I know you mentioned some there that you think could step up the most in 2022 and have a huge impact on the team that maybe Braves fans haven't seen step up yet. But there's somebody, you know, kind of like that you're looking forward to kind of having a breakout season.
You know, I know that this might seem a little bit odd, but I think Ian Anderson is the guy that I look to.
That's kind of who I was thinking about.
Yeah, because, but see, the thing is, everybody thinks that he's already so great. Well, he's really good, but he can be so much better. So when I look at Ian Anderson, can he be consistent with his curveball? If he can be consistent with his curveball, all of a sudden you have a top of the rotation type of guy. Right now, he's slotting that number three spot pretty nicely, but he could be so much better. And I think the other thing we forget about with him is that last year was his first full season. We go to 2020 in a shortened season, and what did he have? Like a handful of starts before the playoffs and did really well in all of them. So we just assume that he's been pitching forever in the big leagues, mm-hmm. and he hasn't. Yeah. So I think Ian Anderson's that guy that I look to really stepping up in that rotation.
Yeah, for sure. That's exactly what I was thinking about when I was asking you that question. Because like you said, I mean, it seems like he's been pitching for the Braves for years now, but he's still really young, still has room to improve there as well. So, all right, that will do it for this episode of Locked On Braves. Nick, thank you so much for joining the show. Make sure you check him out on Bally Sports there, and make sure you follow him on Twitter at NickGreen20. But that will do it for this episode, and we will talk to you next time.
Hey, this is Stacey Gottsoulias,
DC Lundberg,
Ryan Finkelstein,
Taylor Blake Ward,
host of Locked On Yankees,
Locked On Mariners,
Locked On Mets,
Locked On Angels,
and you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.